Albert the Ballocks McJacob wasn't the biggest man in the world, so how did he become hurling's prince of centre-backs? Through the 1970s and into the 80s, was it because he was a genius on the ball or a noble warrior when chasing down an opponent in possession? Both tell the truth. The Wexford legend won it all in purple and gold, and All-Ireland, 3 Leinster titles, 1 National League and 3 All-Star Awards, the first Wexford man to win one. For his own famed club and in his beloved county, Jacob was irrepressible from the early 60s until he was finally forced to retire through injury from the county stage in 1984. This is a marvellous book which is on sale in all good bookshops, The Warrior of Albert Hill, and a special word for Alan Ahern, who everybody knows, of course, is a group sports editor of the People newspapers here in Wexford and a former National Young Journalist of the Year Award winner in 1991. He was assistant manager of the All-Ireland winning senior Camogie team in 2007 and served as assistant secretary and PRO of Wexford GA County Board from 1996 to 2006. He's a member of the Sarsfields GA Club, and it's a great piece of work, Alan. Well done. I caught up with Mick during the week to have a chat. We only scratched the surface, really, of this wonderful book. Well, sitting in front of me now is the Prince of Hurling, his title, Wexford's first All-Star. Who started off hurling in the goal, Mick?
Yeah, I started off hurling in the goal. I suppose I started with the club first. I was only 16 years of age when I was playing with the junior team. We went to the county final in 62 against Ladies Isle. I suppose that's where I started my goalkeeping. I went on then and represented Wexford on the 21 level, 64, 65, 66 in the goal. Third game we had against Cork, I was moved to the middle of the field. And
that was a big change from goal to middle of the field.
How that happened was, we were playing a county final against, we played Cork in three games, one in Kilkenny, one in Limerick, and then the other one in Croke Park. What happened really was that I was playing with Buffers Alley, Owlert combination against the Martins. We won the county final. I was playing on Vinnie Stables, I suppose, and I hurled well on Vinnie that day. That's how that move come. And of course, I was pitted against Justin McCarty.
That was a nice test for you.
That was a good reminder of what hurling was about, because he was kind of the hurler of the year that year, I think, in 66, a great hurler. Didn't work out really for me, I suppose. I'd say I hadn't a real experience for to play a game, but it gave me a great, you know, a knowledge of what I had to do in later years. And it was a great thing for me, I think, playing on a man like him. I knew I had to come up to a higher standard. It didn't work out anyway, I suppose. The score in that All-Ireland final was 6-9 to 9-9, so it was an awful high-scoring game. I remember that so well. In those games, Shawnee Barry got a free the last minute in Nolan Park, put over the bar, so they had a good team. So that's how I started off in the goal. I suppose I was, you know, when I was playing with the Owler team, I was a very small, little, light lad at 16 years of age, and I suppose I had great...
Stick him in the goal.
Put him in the goal and see. And of course, I had good men in front of me. I had Miley Ryan and Paddy Pender and Nicky Sutton. So they were told, don't let in anyone on that young lad. And Miley used to say to me, there's no one going to come in here today. They didn't come in, because at that time you could come in and put goal man and all in the net. I suppose I was happy enough, really, you know, to be hurling in the goal. I was playing anyway, and I was getting experience. Also, it was a great thing for me in later years, playing out in the backs and playing down there, because, you know, the concentration and all I had to have in the goal and all like that. All the good men that I played in front of, with Dan Quigley was in front of me in the 65 All-Ireland, so...
You couldn't have a better man.
Yeah. Willie O'Neill and Aidan Summers, so rock solid, and Willie Murphy and Mick Kinston and all those lads, all that team in 65.
Wouldn't much get past Summers anyway.
There wouldn't be not too many. He'd be very solid. Could be sure that he'd be taking the ball, man and all, you know, when they'd be coming in. So it was great to be playing.
I was talking to him recently. He said if he was playing now, he'd be in jail after most games.
Well, he was a good Tigerish player. You'd get nothing soft or handy off him.
You started hurling in school, I believe. Isn't that where you got your Grawford? In Owlert. And you lived on the Wicklow borders first before you moved down to Owlertwick and And ironically, I suppose your wife Breda was instrumental then when she went to teach there and bringing young fellas through. Is that your first memory out at school?
I suppose the first memory of the whole thing is we used to live down in Coonley Hinch near Gorey, about 2 miles from there. So my father died when I was only nine in 1956. Maybe that hadn't happened, you know, if my father had...
Be hurling for Gorey.
Could have been hurling for Gorey. I could have been hurling for the Pats. So, you know, the way it worked out, we came back to Owler. My mother was from Owler. My uncles were after buying a farm and we had no house at the time. So there was a house on that place and that's how we came back there to Monavull over across here. That's how, we came back to Owler. So we went to Owler National School then and that's where the real hurling started. And I suppose we had the hurling at home as well. We used to hurl an awful lot at home.
It's been competitive with your gang, was it?
Oh, it was very competitive, all right, because tell you what, Tom Bourne, Tom used to be hurling with us as well.
He's living in Clonmel, isn't he?
He's living in Clonmel, and we used to go over to Tag Murphy's across the field, and we'd go over there and we'd hurl games, and we'd had Peter Story, a brother of Martin. He used to be
no referee either, of course.
No referee, and
throw the ball in.
The thing about that, Liam, was it was a great year out there hurling all the time, and you were hurling it like a game situation. Try to score goals. Tag Buffy used to make hurls for us as well, and of course to get a hurl that time, it was a kind of a real Christmas box, get off him and then get out and get the feeling of hurling. And then we go over there hurl and we come back home to our own place and we'd hurl in as well. So we get into the yard, myself and Christy had hurl in the yard, scoring goals and all like that. And then we'd go down to the national school and we'd have the hurling in a yard, small yard there where the hurling pitch is there now. And the hurling there would be unreal. Johnny Parr used to be in the goal. He played senior and all, and played junior and all. And you could not get a ball by Johnny. The heavy touches now. And
of course, the ball wasn't the greatest that time either, was it?
Wasn't the greatest. No, it wasn't the greatest. But it could be a sponge ball. It could be any sort of a ball. Yes. But do you know what? Great place to be brought up in a small little bit of ground. But you had to earn your ball there because you'd be getting plenty of smacks and... all things like that, and as a place that you were going to learn down there as well, you know. That time then, you see, you had maybe a record league game. We'd go over maybe to Ballinafarno, that'd be the Sherman Lears crowd. Lord, we'd go over there anyway, and we'd say, shit, do you know what, them lads is definitely overage with their size. We couldn't believe the size of these lads. Maybe our own imagination was or something like that. But it was a great way of...
great education.
A great education and a great way of, growing up and getting the feeling for hurling as well, you know.
When you look back in your career, I suppose, there's a lot of great hurlers who never were fortunate enough to hurl for the county. You got an early shot at it, didn't you? And you took it with both hands. Do you remember when you first played senior, Mick?
Oh, yeah. I played senior in 1967 against Kilkenny in Nolan Park. I was playing on...
First game.
I played on Paddy Moore. Paddy was...
Earned
your crust then. Yeah. I suppose all those games, that all the different lads you play against, you learn all the time. And I suppose maybe going out to your first day against somewhere like that, you say to yourself...
Were you playing in midfield that day?
Yeah, midfield. Yeah. You'd have to be up for it against this fella. Any of the games that I ever played in or play against anyone, I'd be always kind of saying to myself, by God, I'll have to be up to 100% for this lad because he was a top-class player. And
when you played centre-back and when you played in midfield, you generally played on guys that were bigger than you, without being disrespectful to you, myself, you weren't the biggest centre-back or midfielder in the country.
I didn't look at it that way, Liam, because all I was interested was that I was going to try to get the ball if I can. If I can't, I can't. My motto was always to get the ball. I always had that fierce determination, even at home. practicing, I give a lad no ball if I can.
Yeah.
I always say to young fellas, if you're playing on the worst fella or the best fella, don't give him any ball. If you get on the attitude, you know, it's a great attitude to have when you go in big games or any sort of game.
It's a good motto to have, isn't it? And you remember that game, 67. So you were never present in Wexford then for many years.
Well, sure. I suppose I was in the panel for the 68 thing then. I was in there playing on maybe the Phil Wilsons and, the different fellas like that. So all those things was a big learning thing. If you were playing on Phil Wilson, you were on...
You had to be fit anyway.
You were on the top man
in
the country. A great player and, so it was a great experience. I was getting experience all the time by playing like that. And he was strong and I never look at size of a lad at all. What have been your heart and your drive you have? That's what you have. As the fellas you'll be playing with as well, they'd be the same thing. So it was a great experience to play again on any of those fellas. And I played against Donny Nealon as well in Ross. I think Donny Nealon, wondering who this lad was on him anyway.
Yes.
I was playing him fairly tight and close. And
you didn't give him an inch.
I didn't give him an
inch. And he was a good one.
I always was like that because I'd be always very tight and I'd be always very close to a fella. I wouldn't be too far off. It was great enjoyment. I got great enjoyment playing all those fellas and playing different fellas.
Matching yourself against the best.
Matching yourself with the best. And that's what you have to do. Match yourself against the best. If you want to be good, you have to play the best.
Did you play more of your hurling at centre-back than in midfield, Mick?
I played more. I played a fair bit in the middle of the field too, though, Liam. I did play a good lot of game. I played in the 70 All-Ireland.
Wexford had a great team in the 70s. We were just bloody unlucky, I suppose the way.
You see, the Kilkenny were super that time, really. Wexford had only been beaten by a point or maybe 2 points in most of those games. And then Wexford was always maybe Kilkenny get limited. Limericks or some different team, and
we'd
generally get Cork or the top team, or that team was should have won an All-Ireland. I think it had a 1-1, that they'd won two. They would have, because they had the players and they had the good great hurlers.
You played in the team in the 70s. As you said yourself, you came up against some great opponents. Kilkenny were very good that time, weren't they?
Kilkenny were great that time. I used to play on Delaney a lot.
Yeah.
And I used to play on Purcell, so they were mighty strong men and
good hurlers.
Good hurlers, and to be just Delaney had only one way. He'd, I suppose, head for the goal, and I always kind of confused him. I think maybe at times because I kind of never let him by me. He's a great player, and he used to be always interchanging with himself and Purcell. You were kind of on different lads all and with different style. Purcell was tremendous in the air and Turban, big fella as well, good in the air. And thing is, I played one day in the goal for Wexford and he played in the goal for Kilkenny.
Senior level?
Under 21 level. And now he comes and I'm playing centre back and he comes out and he's playing centre forward on me. An unusual thing. He was playing in the goal and I was playing in the goal.
What game stands out for Wexford now? What game would stand out more than any other for you?
I suppose the game that we beat Kilkenny by 17 points, that was a wonderful day. And 76, I think now. I think it was 76.
That was a bloody good Wexford team, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wexford was non-hopers going into that game, I think. If you get the Wexford spirit going and you get the Wexford hurling going, there's no team will beat him. And that day, Wexford really, they were all Ireland champions, they were league champions.
There was no back door that time, of course.
No back door. Yeah. I suppose if we had a back door, I think we would have had all Ireland. I suppose that's what was the unfortunate thing, that there was no back doors that time. You know, it was either win or lose, and then you had Offaly then as well.
And then, of course, you had the disappointment of the two All-Ireland defeats in 76 and 77. Who did you mark from Cork in those two finals?
I marked the four lads the first day, 76. I marked Brendan Cummins, Ray Cummins, Mick Malone and Jimmy Barry Murphy. So I had four different opponents.
They tried four on you?
Yeah, different style, different things. Yeah. So I suppose some was going to get some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it was about to happen.
Yeah.
And sure, then in 77, Jeremy Carty playing me.
Yeah.
So he was a good player as well. So
you didn't make any slouches. They were all good.
Well, you see, the thing is, Liam, you'll meet no bad lad in inter-county hurling. They're all good. Yeah. They'll be all well able to hurl and be all well able to play. You have to be kind of really on the top of your game no matter what.
Were you naturally fit or did you have to work on it?
I was a great man to train.
Yeah.
I used to do a lot of training on my own. I used to do a lot of running. I suppose I'd run from here to the farm, maybe back and be about 3 or 4 miles in my welting boots.
That'd be heavy going in wellies.
Wellies. The thing is, when I was only 13 or 14, I was walking after horses all day, rolling, harn, all that sort of thing. Mm. And that gave me a great...
strength.
Great strength, and it gave me great fitness as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of fitness, I suppose you can't buy really because, and I used to do it, I suppose the last year that I played into County Hurling in 84, I suppose it was my fittest, I was never as fit in my life as I was that year. I started my training in September, 3 or 4 nights a week to do a lot of hill running, up and down, and
so you made the sacrifice yourself.
I was always like that. I always had a fear of the whole thing, no matter whether it was Owlers, Wexford. When you went out there, you're on your own, and you had to be prepared for any of those fellas that you were playing on. You had to be in top shape.
Remind us when you won the All-Star.
1972, I won the All-Star. You know, winning the All-Star really put Owlers on the map. On the map.
Yeah.
And I suppose it also gave Owlers, I don't know whether they were kind of respected in the county as hurlers or not. And I think it gave the whole thing big notice as saying, because there's no coming out Owler to Ballach. The thing is about all those things is what you put into it and what you...
Great honour to win it though, wasn't it?
A great honour to win it. It was a special, really, you know, to win it. And it's there, and it's there forever, I suppose. To win three was, you know, very good, really. And I suppose at that time, you were picked in your position. You weren't picked...
You didn't have to win an All-Ireland.
You had to be maybe... You were 5 lads or 6 lads picked again, you, and you were the top then to be picked. Yeah. I suppose it was a great occasion for the club, and it put the club on the map, and it also gave the people coming after me, you know, that sort of thing. The like of Liam Dunn, Martin Story, two Lacey women, and Morsela.
Yeah.
I think there's 19 All-Stars in the club. It was kind of, I suppose every young lad should be aiming to be top class. I suppose the thing is, Liam, I wanted to be always, you know, a star. That's why I played.
Or one of the reasons you played.
One of the reasons I played. I love lining out for Wexford Owlers. It was a pleasure to put on those jerseys. And I suppose think of the men, all the good men that went before us, and Billy Rackard and all them. That, I suppose Billy Rackard was my idol as well.
Bobby
and all those, Nicky and all those fellas. So it was, I suppose, a great occasion.
You got so close with the club, didn't you?
Yeah.
You just didn't get there, and the boys go and do it then when your own sons are playing. But you had very good teams that time, Mick, and you just couldn't get across the line, really, could you?
I suppose the thing is, Liam, is I think also really maybe hadn't after winning one. I think you had a 1-1. Yeah, yeah. I think we'd
you'd have gone on then.
Yeah. But we just a bit short that we didn't win them in some of them games because they were close enough, really.
Yeah.
The only thing about Liam, we never give up. We said to ourselves, geez, you know what? We'll never win this. We'll go again. No matter what, we'll have another go at. Keep driving on. We kind of laid the foundation for the...
For what came after.
Yeah. Only for us, I think. Because you must say, We came from a low, very low team. Times maybe we're lucky to have a junior team. Mm. So we just kept at it and kept at it, kept at it, kept at it, regardless. We'd be disappointed after the game. We'd say Monday or Tuesday, Jed, we'll go again. We'll have a go again.
We'll come back for
more. And you see, I think...
Was it the 74 final, was it, that was christened the Mick Jacob final?
Oh, 74 final against Rathnure. Yeah. Talks about
talk
that.
About you talk, after that. They're still talking about you in Rathnure, even though they won.
Talk about that anyway, Liam, but sure.
Day very well.
It was a good day anyway. We didn't win it, all right. Yeah. That's the only thing. Put an awful lot into it, really, and we got a great kick out of hurling anyway. Yeah. Really, whether we won or lost. Yeah,
but you had a great game that day.
We like to win. We'll always like to win.
What would you say was your greatest strength yourself? You were obviously very fit. You were strong. Fellas would have perceived you being you're slightly built, but you were very strong. My memory, fortunate enough to see you hurling a lot of times. You had fierce determination on the field. And you always wore a helmet, even when you didn't have to wear a helmet that time.
I suppose thing about the whole thing, I suppose, as I said, the work I done.
Training and work you did yourself.
And work I did me training and the work when I was a kind of a young fella, I suppose, made me strong and I was fierce determined.
Farming every day, which helped
and
as well.
Farming every day. And I used to, suppose I used to practice an awful lot myself as well. People hitting balls to me over my head in front of me and I get to the ball no matter where it be. Yeah, yeah. So I suppose all that thing, you know, was a big... I used to work at my game, I suppose.
You didn't just go down to 2 nights training, you worked yourself when you weren't there.
And the hurling, and working at the hurling, and working at the fitness, and I suppose the concentration when you're playing as a back or a midfielder, essential for the whole thing. I'd be a fierce person to watch other players where they'd be hitting the ball, and that was a big plus as well.
Who was your toughest opponent, can you remember?
God, there were so many.
You came up against a lot of them.
There were so many, I suppose. Liam, there was a... You have a Patilene, you have a... Kieran Brennan was another a slippery fella, fast, quick as well. Jerry McCarthy was a great player. Sure, Justin McCarthy.
Jimmy Barry was
real good as well, quick and fast. And as I said, John Connolly would be another player. And Connolly, I suppose the toughest and is Tim Crowley. You know, he was a Kittogue hurler, which
hard
to handle. The Kittogue men is hard to handle. You can't really say who's the toughest.
On a different day.
Chunky O'Brien, I played on him.
Another good fella.
So I played on him in 76, but when I was going to play on him, I play him in front of him. If the ball was gone,
Don't
let him get the ball. Yeah. And it worked a treat for me, really, because I didn't let him get the ball. He was deadly at picking up balls and laying balls into the forwards.
To make sure he didn't get the ball.
I made sure that I was in front of him, where I was. As I say, when I'd be playing in the middle field, I always said to young fellas, if the ball has gone into the backs, be in front. If it's gone into the forwards, be in front. Because if the ball comes short, you have it. If you're behind, you're bet.
It must have given you a great thrill. I think you played into your 40s. Of course you did, because you were as fit as a flea. It must have given you a great thrill after to see, you know, your two sons and what your daughters at Ursula and how they won so many medals. It must have given you a great thrill after. It was the next best thing to play in, I suppose.
Sure, it was, because like this, we were after bringing maybe the Rorys and the Michaels.
Dragging them around the place, driving around the place.
And Stephen and the Keats and all them fellas that played with Howlers, won the 5 in a row and all things like that. So it's great to see those lads playing at inter-county level, minor, under 21, play senior. I think, you see, every club should be producing a minor or two minors every year or a couple of 21s. I think then you have hurling strong in the club, because we had a lot of lads that played maybe, you know, with the senior county team and under 21. And it made them good as well, because they were playing against top-class fellas. So when they came back to the club...
That benefited the club and the players around
them.
I should say, of course, that when you stopped hurling, you just didn't give up on the club. You took over teams and you would have worked a lot of those young fellas. So you're still there in the club.
I suppose I'm after being... I don't know how many years I'm after being with the club, with the young lads. But
if you were getting paid, you'd be a millionaire now.
Oh, I'd be a millionaire. I you wouldn't know where I'd be, Liam. I could be anywhere. It's not about money at all. It's about...
Satisfaction of seeing young lads improve.
Seeing young lads developing and getting out and hurling to their ability and all that sort of thing. I think it was great, really. We got in great enjoyment from looking at all those lads, every one of them, our own lads, the other fellas, the Camogies, all them. It was wonderful because a lot of All-Irelands in the club with Camogie and senior hurling and all like that. So all that's good for the club and it's good for maybe the generations coming up as well.
Absolutely. You know? We've only barely scratched, there's only a tiny scratch on the surface of your career, and we certainly didn't give too much away, but the book is a fantastic read that it will do very well. You have a great memory and I really appreciate your hospitality. I know it'll do very well, so it's on sale in all good bookshops, and Mick Jay, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks very much, Liam, for everything.